Hey everyone, this is John Puritz. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. This show is dedicated to each of us being better in all areas of our lives, mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. We want to help you be a better you because when you man up already, the world around you is greatly impacted. Here on the podcast, we don't believe you're an accident. We believe each of us is created for purpose, and this show is dedicated to helping you discover and live out that purpose. Again, welcome to the show, and let's check out another great episode. All right, everyone. Hey, welcome to another exciting episode of the Man Up Already podcast. And as always, you know, I am super, super pumped to have you here to deliver great content. And I am so excited to have our guest today covering a topic that I think is incredibly, incredibly important. It's something that I have always been present to, but kind of took a deep dive in over the last few months. And our guest, we had connected, gosh, it's months and months ago. But when we did, I always knew that I wanted to have her on the podcast. So we're going to bring up our guest today, Laurel Weirs, who is an expert in trauma. I love, you know, when I read her bio, she said, you know, I'm the last person that I ever thought I would deal with trauma. But her knowledge is quite extensive. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is a master of accelerated resolution therapy and a collaborator on a new therapy model called critical memory integration. Please welcome my good friend and our great guest today, Laurel Weirs. Laurel, good to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And can I just say your intro is amazing? I like that. It's very powerful.
Good. That's well, it was designed to be. So that's awesome.
Yes, you hit the mark. Definitely.
Thank you very much. All right. So let's dive in. So, you know, I always like to share, you know, kind of how, you know, if I have a personal interaction with our guests, I always like to share that we met on where I meet a lot of people, right? LinkedIn.
Yeah.
A while back. And we had, you know, done a networking kind of coffee and got to know each other. And just in my time getting to know you, I could just tell this is, and we've met a couple of times, this is someone who really understands and knows what she's talking about. So how did the, let's talk about what is trauma, right? Let's define it. And then how you got on this journey of helping people with it.
Okay. So trauma is not the event that happened. It's the way that your body reacts to what you have experienced in your life. Mm. And I like to say that to start because people have this idea that trauma has to be some form of a horrific event in order for it to qualify. But when we say it's not the event, but it's how your body reacts to something, it broadens the definition and it broadens those people who allow themselves to say, oh, I might be actually having a traumatic reaction to an event. So for example, we all can say, yes, people who have been in war, they have trauma. People that grew up in abusive homes or were sexually abused, that's trauma. But when we talk about the broader definition, meaning how you react to an event, we allow people to have who have self-limiting beliefs. So people that as a child were ignored or not cared for or were mocked or didn't have their needs met. That also gets wired in your body no differently than someone who had something that we call a big T trauma, like abuse or neglect or was in war. So I like to refer to it that way so people can include themselves anytime that we have a past experience that seems to play out emotionally for us in the present. That's trauma.
Say that again. I think that's incredibly important.
Anytime we have a past experience that emotionally plays out for us in the present, we have trauma.
Okay. Awesome. And then you're dedicated to helping people overcome that.
Yes. It's my life's work. I was just with a girlfriend last night and over margaritas, we talked about this. And I just want to love and heal. Like that's my goal. I know that God equipped me for this work because a question I get asked on a lot of podcasts is, how do you handle the heavy? How do you sit with people and work through all of this and not take it home? And I truly don't. And my answer is, I know that this is what I was made for. I know that my love is to journey alongside people through their pain. And I celebrate when we get to the end and they have transformation and freedom. And I can go home at the end of the day and say, I did the best that I could. And I led someone to a better place than where they started at. And I don't take the yuck with me. And I just think that's a gift.
Yeah, that's for sure. For sure. Being, you know, I talk about it a lot here on the podcast, being a former teacher, I didn't have the skills to, like you're talking about, I took it home. I, you know, just all the things that the kids were dealing with and all that. I'm an empathetic person. And my, you know, this is something you probably could teach me better as well, is my challenge is, I take on people's story. You know, and I tend to, and this could be part of my childhood trauma, is I take on responsibility sometimes for people's story.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you connected it back to that, right? Because typically when we carry things into our adulthood, it's only because they served a purpose for us back in our childhood. But we never stop somewhere along the way to say, do I still need that skill? And now is it helping me or is it hurting me? And quite often, because it's all we know, it can tend to hurt us. I always talk to my clients about, it's like having shoes. The shoes that you wore at 7 and 8 years old don't fit you when you're 40, 50, and 60. Mm-hmm. They will pinch you. And it's the same with skills. What was adaptive as a child does not always fit us in our adulthood, and it pinches us. And that's when we start to run up against things.
So I'm just going to put it out there because, you know, it's the podcast. I am very transparent that I experienced severe trauma as a kid and carried it all through, most of my adult life. Like, I love what you were talking about in the survival skills that we had to learn to just, you know, adapt and deal with our environment as kids. You know, oftentimes we just continue to use those skills to adapt in our life, but it's such a great analogy. I'm wearing, you know, I'll use it for me, right? You tend to wear child shoes, even though you're a 50 something year old adult.
Exactly. Yeah.
Powerful. It's so powerful.
It is. And I think the part too that people miss in transitioning out of that is it's so important to honor that 6, 7, and 8 year old who had to do that thing that they shouldn't have had to do to survive. And the healing comes when we can go back there, look at them and say, thank you so much for doing that. But we don't have to do that anymore. So come with me. Come to where we are now, where you don't have to behave and operate that way. And let's just do this journey together.
What would you say? I mean, you work with a lot of people, right? Like,
yes.
I would, you know, one of the things that I was very present to when I ran my men's conference was just how wounded, you know, people, I'm not even just going to say men, people are, right? Like, like we're carrying around these wounds and these traumas. Like I would venture to say a lot of people are walking around with things that they don't even realize are running the show.
Oh my goodness. Yes. You are speaking my language. So that is what I see all the time, right? In everybody, whether it's on TV or it's just in social engagements with my clients. Yes. You see that there's these mindsets, right? They're limiting beliefs or they're, you know, resources that we use in the past, but we don't need them anymore. And they become our filter. I always like to say it's like a lens or a filter, but we have this lens and it's clouding us from seeing truly what's going on. And the only way we can clean that is to get in there, do the work, recognize it, honor it, and then we have a clearer picture going forward. But yeah, so many people don't realize, like people talk to me about, oh, I can't stand it when my partner does A, B, or C behavior. The behavior in and of itself is innocuous. It's the meaning that they're giving to it because it's coming through that filter, which is from earlier life experiences, and they're not reacting to their partner, they're reacting to their past.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. So, I mean, I really want to touch on, because I think it's really important. You said earlier that most people believe, and I'm one of them. I mean, until I met you, the idea that you don't have to carry this around for the rest of your life, because I'm present to my trauma. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners, you know, right, I'm the Man Up Already podcast is what I call live from the trench, right? There's no, I'm not on some pedestal here. I talk about the things that I deal with because I want to deal with them and then put it out there. But you believe and know, because I've spoken to you enough to get this from you, that trauma doesn't have to take a really long time to be dealt with. So let's dive into that, because I think it's really incredibly important. And I think people need to hit you up, right, and get your services, because you have a bona fide way of helping people move forward.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Yes, that is the thing. If I could shout it from the mountaintops, it would be that trauma healing does not have to take a lot of time. That is the biggest misconception. And the reason it's out there is because many people have only tried one form of therapy, which is our traditional cognitive behavioral talk therapy, to deal with their trauma. I learned as a clinician, so this is getting to my story, even how I started to work with trauma, that for 17 years, I would not work with you if you had PTSD. And it was because I had seen that I could not transform and I could not bring relief that was lasting. So my clients would come in week after week and we would talk about things, but some of them I was making worse, truth be told, because they were just re-experiencing those events that were very difficult. They felt okay in the moment because there's something about that release that is very healing, but it didn't change the triggering and it didn't change their behaviors. So when I realized that, I said, okay, no more. If you have PTSD, I send you out to other people. I don't know if they got better with the other people. I just knew that I couldn't do it. And then 8 years ago, I stumbled upon this form of therapy that was the beginning of my journey. And now I use lots of modalities, but it was bilateral stimulation was the basis of it. Meaning that, one, somatically, if we can identify our trauma, it's all in the body. Our body stores it, but it's old. So it just needs to be released. So I can track back your memory connected with that bodily sensation. And then through the process of using bilateral stimulation, I can help you reprocess your memory, which basically what I'm doing is I'm changing the way that your brain stores the images and the sensations that are tied to that event. The event is not the problem, like I said earlier. The narrative isn't even the problem. Telling somebody I was sexually abused or I got in a car accident, that is not what trips people up. It is the images and the sensations that their body holds from the event that keep coming forward. Mm-hmm. That's what I clean up, John. That's what I clear out. In literally 1 to 4 sessions, that's the work that I do with people.
Wow.
And we change the way that you store it.
1 to 4 sessions.
1 to 4. Most acute trauma. Meaning a car accident, a fight with a partner, or even a rape. 1 session. That's it. And I can desensitize you to the stimulus in the environment that's triggering you. And then once that happens, it changes everything. So someone can come into my office and not even be able to get through the story of how they were raped. Can't even do it because, right, you're getting flooded. Images, sensations, you re-experience it. I have people who've been mauled by dogs, right? They literally feel the bites when they are in that session, when they're talking about it. I can take them through this whole protocol. When they leave, they can tell me the whole story, completely neutral, no emotional reactivity whatsoever, because we have now changed the association with the images, given positive images. So now it's just the facts. And we keep your narrative intact. You can tell me the story 100% as it happened, but we've unplugged, I like to tell a lot of my clients, the images and sensations. So now you're not triggered and there's no emotional dysregulation happening.
That's powerful. And I've talked about him on here many times. I watched my father pass away. And I was in that hospital room, and it's funny because the key thing that you said is images. And when I think of my dad, I don't think of all the good times, and I don't think those are all in my memory. But when I think of my dad, I'm immediately in that hospital room.
You are a perfect, Yeah.
Right. And it never goes away. And it's funny because I texted my son last night. I was watching Behind the Music on Wolfgang Van Halen. I don't know if you know who that is or, but he's Eddie Van Halen's. I'm hoping you know who Eddie Van Halen is.
Yes. Okay. I love 5150, my favorite.
So when, you know, Eddie Van Halen's son is Wolfgang Van Halen. And so they did it Behind the Music, and it's the whole story of their connection. And he can't, you know, him just talking about his dad, like you can see all that trauma and all that grief. And I'm sitting there and I'm like a freaking mess because I'm thinking about not only my father, but I'm thinking about, you know, my relationship to my son and all that. And so it's just, there's images, right? They just keep coming back. And it's incredibly, and you know, incredibly important to deal with them. I just, you know, we think about the event. I was in that room, or this happened. This was what my home life was like, or this is what I experienced. And we just constantly think, well, this event happened, but I love what you said. It's like a computer file that just keeps popping up on your screen.
Yes. And I love that you use that imagery because that's what your brain is doing. So it's called a ready state memory, John, when you keep seeing your dad in the hospital room. Literally, your brain is saying to you, hello, do something with me. I don't need to do this anymore. Our brain is telling you that this is too big. I can't process this on my own, but we need to do something with it. And that is exactly when the people come to me, John, that's what we do. They always have the image. I'm like, okay, do you not want to see that anymore? Yes. And when you process it, John, and you take the intensity out of it and you file it the way it should be, it becomes like any other memory, like what you had for breakfast yesterday or what you wore 2 days ago. And this is the beautiful part though. Oh, I love this. Then all the good comes forth. People will text me the week later and say, Laurel, I am now seeing all the positive of my childhood, the positive moments with my mom and dad. All I could see before was the negative. But once we clear it, your brain's like, ah, okay, there's so much more behind it.
Powerful. Very, very powerful. Wow. I want to talk about critical memory integration. What is that? You're right. You said you were a collaborator. It's new. Can you dive in a little bit on that?
Yeah, so it's more of an overarching modality. So when I used one method for years, which was accelerated resolution therapy, it's beautiful, it works great. But every once in a while, what I noticed was that some people who have experiences in their childhood, that actually feeds into, there's a lot of research on ACEs scores, people that have neglect, grew up in alcoholic homes, all of that, are almost more predisposed to PTSD. So if you came in to see me for a car accident, I can work through that, but you've still got some of this childhood stuff that might be making you vulnerable or more fragile to having PTSD. And if you come to see me for the car accident, that doesn't mean you necessarily want me to dive into your past. But what I've learned is the linkage. If I just deal with the car accident and I don't deal with your past, I might leave you more predisposed to having more traumatic events happen in the future because you're fragile. So now I go back with a process called critical memory integration. And we go back because that car accident, what you might be surprised, is triggering some of the same sensations you had in an adverse event in your childhood. So if I can go back and heal that at the same time, oh, it's like this beautiful coupling of these two wonderful modalities that is very holistic and it's healing. And it's so powerful. So I became part of a team where we just trained the military in Spain, a bunch of psychiatrists over there in this modality, so they can start using it with their traumatized people as well. But it just was released in October. We've only done a couple trainings so far, but it's a lovely group of people who have a ton of experience in the trauma world. We were all trainers for ART and now have added this other component in a sense to working. And it's just a great overarching model.
Yeah, that's... I wanted to do this episode because it's like the walking wounded, right? Like, you know, that most people that we're just encountering every single day. And let me, you know, kind of dive a little bit deeper in here. I'm huge on personal development. I'm ridiculously fanatical about positive self-concept, because if you don't have a positive self-concept, I mean, how you see yourself is how you see the world, right? Like, that's just a fact. And if we're not dealing with the things that happen in life, if we're carrying these files around in our brain mm-hmm. and they are creating the perception of, you know, of how we see the world, I just think your work is so incredibly important because, you know, the 80-20 rule, right? Like 80% of people do 20% of the work. And right, you know, how many people out there could change that ratio for themselves, right? Go from 80% to 20% just on dealing with the things that are holding them back in their life.
Oh, absolutely. I love that you even just said the part about how you have to love yourself first. I just had a client about 3 weeks ago now. I've worked with her for probably 3 years on and off through different things. She goes through these different levels of healing. She had egregious sexual abuse for 12 years of her life. We got through all that stuff. But just because we deal with that, right, didn't equip her to actually love herself. So we had gone through all these different levels of healing, but because she wasn't reactive to maybe someone touching her anymore. So when I first saw her, she couldn't even have someone hug her without it stirring up things in her. So we got her through the place where she could at least have physical affection. But through the years, what she noticed is that she could not accept love from people. If they said, I love you, she'd be like, yeah, right. And even with friendships or intimate relationships. So 3 weeks ago, we finally did her little girl work. And I said to her, I want you to look at that little girl, you know, who was abused. And I want you to sit next to her and just see her. Let her tell you what that was like. So she took some time and she did that. And then I said, what does she need? She said, she just needs to know that she's seen and she's loved. And I said, can you do that for her? And she said, yes. So she went back in her mind and she did that. And then she called me a week later and she said, Laurel, I can tell you 100% for the first time in my life, I love myself. Mm. She said, I love myself because I love her. She said, I used to hate her. I hated everything she represented. But when you made me see her through a different lens and I was able to bring her in with me, she said, I finally don't resist when someone says, I love you. I mean, and that's like you said, if we don't do that work, we inhibit our ability to be fully present and receive all the good that's out there for us.
You can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give what you don't give. Like if you're going to give it to the world, the first person, it's gonna be you.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's the thing that people almost bypass that, right? And especially when you have trauma, the last thing traumatized people want to do is sit with themselves because it is overwhelming. A lot of people with trauma are very busy people because as long as you stay busy physically and emotionally and mentally, you don't have to deal with the stuff. But yeah, once you get to that place of, okay, I can't keep solving everyone else's problems. I need to actually deal with my own. Oh, it is uncomfortable. But the good news is it doesn't have to go on for a long time. You can go in, you can do that work and be so freed.
Let's talk about what life is like on the other side of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. I speak just obviously right from my own personal experience. Like I was in the gym today and, you know, normally I would look in the mirror and filter. I only see how I internally see, right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. it's the distorted reality.
Yeah.
And something's changed with me. I'm not sure what it is, but now I start to see myself as who I am, you know, like mm-hmm. it's an interesting change. But I know that that's just the beginning on some certain things for me to be like, you know what it's funny because the owner of the gym is my age, but he looks 10 years younger. Mm. Like when he told me that, and I realized, you know, short of, you know, I'm not going to color my hair, right? But if I did, I probably would be, you know, seen the same way, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I don't know, some acceptance of understanding who you are. You know, the Man Up Already podcast and the whole movement here is all about authenticity, right? Bring you to the party. You're good enough. You're created for purpose, all of that. Yes. And so I know from personal experience and I write and again, speak upon the things that I deal with that in order for you to do that or not in order, life on the other side of everything that we're talking about is lived in such a deeper way. And one of the things God has been really hammering me on over the last months is be present. Yes. Be with me. Every day is its own day. Delight in me, delight in who you are, who I created. Like it's just been this constant message. So I want for our listeners to understand what, or get a glimpse of what can life be, or how can life be lived when the things that are holding us back are actually dealt with.
Well, you just put it perfectly. It's just like that, right? I love that that's the message that you keep getting hit with. So it makes me think of, again, another client who I just spoke with 3 days ago. She's a perfect example of this. She, for 43 years, has been type A, overachiever, eating disorders, always this kind of false sense of bravado, right? That is taxing. That is life sucking. It's exhausting, right? Emotionally, to have to keep overdoing over here to make up for the lack here. We did probably 3 months ago, we started doing work on her past stuff. We've done 2 intensive sessions, and she called me up this week and she said, "Laurel, for the first time, I was in the grocery store and I started to have this feeling that I used to have in the past, this fear of going home." She said, and then I realized, wait a minute, is this true? Is this a present thing? Is this really happening? Or is this just some old stuff that's lingering? And she said, I could actually, first of all, feel what was happening in the present. She said, I have never done that. I just react. And she said, I could stop, right? There's this moment between stimulus and response. She's like, and I could stop in that moment and say like, wait, challenge it. Oh, that's not really what's happening. And just say, that's old stuff, and just get rid of it. And she said, the confidence I felt in myself and the joy and the peace that I had the rest of the day after that is something I have never known for 43 years.
Wow.
So that's what it looks like, right? When you have this healing, it doesn't mean that your old tendencies might not pop up, but you recognize them and go, oh, that's that old pair of shoes. I don't need to wear them anymore. And you start to feel the pinch. You're not numb to the pinching anymore. And then when you have the freedom to step into the right shoes, it's just, you're comfortable because you're exactly where you need to be.
Powerful, powerful. So it's funny because we've done the podcast in a different format than I'm used to. So, or that I normally do, right? Because we just literally dove headfirst into the deep end. So let's kind of swim over, if you will, to the shallow end. Tell us about you. How did this all happen for you? You know, like what's the journey for you to get into the work that you do? Because we didn't really talk about that.
Okay. So my journey has been interesting, right? I was a general run-of-the-mill therapist in the beginning.
Why therapy in the first place?
You know, I think, again, it was my destiny. It actually was not what I was supposed to do. I was a major science and math geek in high school. I was a cute science and math geek, but I was totally into math. And so I went to college initially to be a civil engineer.
Wow.
And as I was in college, I started to realize that these psych classes were pretty cool. And I liked it so much that I ended up with a double major in psych at the end. But then I graduated, I got married, and for kicks, this was my fun, John. I read self-help books. I had stacks. I would go to the library and just bring them home. And I was just, you know, really taking all this information in. And I then was supposed to go to graduate school. And that's when I made a pivot. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should do something with this psych stuff. Still never thinking I would be a therapist. And then I walked through the halls of, it was the human services part of a university. And I saw a sign on the door that said marriage and family therapy. And I was like, huh. I think that's like me. Like, that's what I'm interested in. And that's how my journey began.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I went to school, did that, came back, and I went into private practice almost immediately.
And how long have you been in private practice?
24 years.
Wow. Awesome. Congrats.
Thank you. That time I got injured. And when I got injured, I watched television. And the show I watched had a bunch of veterans who were telling stories about being healed from trauma. And that's how my trauma journey started. I was like, oh my gosh, you mean there's actually therapy that works for this stuff? Like really works and people are talking about it. Within a month, I was trained in the first modality I used, accelerated resolution therapy. I went back to my office the weekend after I was trained. Now, you have to understand, John, I was a talk therapist. This was totally 180 out from anything I knew. But I was like, I have nothing to lose. I had three clients lined up that I said, go with me on this. I'm learning something. Let me see if it works with you. I went into my office that week, literally was reading from a sheet of paper to keep myself on track with what I was supposed to do. And their lives were changed. They literally walked out of my office. The first woman, she had watched a horrible accident of her toddler. He had fallen and it was really messy. She could not walk on the second level of our mall. She could not walk on like stairs that looked down because she was triggered. She left my session that day. She called me up. She said, Laurel, I just left the mall. I went on the second floor and I felt nothing. And I was like, oh my gosh, it actually worked. And so I just kept doing it. And here I am 8 years later. And I've gone on this journey of, I first started out with tons of trauma, like very critical things. And then my clients would get healed and they would come back to me and say, I know you did that thing for this really yucky thing, but do you think you could help me with this? So presentations, or help me with social anxiety, or help me with, you know, kind of more easy stuff. I found that I could take the same principles I was using with trauma and apply it to these stuck points, these negative life events. This goes back to this critical memory piece, these memories of moments in your life that are tripping you up. I can pull those out the same way I can pull out your sexual abuse, and you are free to be who you were before that event ever happened. So when I started seeing this, then I started working with athletes. I would have athletes come to me, like literally a teacher from my kid's school called me up and she said, I hear you do this like crazy voodoo, like weird, like I
voodoo.
I get that a lot. It's not voodoo. It's all evidence-based. It's all researched. But she said, I heard that you can fix people like miraculously. And she said, do you think you could help my son who used to be an amazing baseball player and now he can't throw the ball past to first base? Had a mental block. And I was like, I'll try it because I'm game for anything. And we did one session. He went out completely back to who he was before he saw me. He can throw first. So I've made this pivot over the last year, which has been not only can I do it in my therapy room, but I can do it with other people for performance. And so now I'm really pursuing working with corporate, individual private clients, you know, executives, the people that are having the same stuff that keeps them from being the best that they can be. We can expediently just pull that stuff out and you can fly.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to point something out that you touched on a little bit earlier in what you, everything that you were just saying. You had a hunch that this was the thing, and rather than spend days, weeks, or months preparing, you said to a few people, I need to try this. And you weren't afraid to have a script or to have a guideline in front of you, and breakthrough happened and you changed their lives and consequently have changed yours and so many others because you were willing to take a risk and step out. And I think, you know, part of what we talk about on here is success principles. And there's just these moments, right? It's that God opens up a window that doesn't open up again. Right. And you've got to know or have the courage to just step through it and allow the process to take on. And I just think that's so key, because those are those moments that change your life and affect the world around you. Because it's never perfect. Right. It's never like going to line up the way you think it's supposed to. And so often we hold ourselves back because the this perception that everybody needs it polished before it's delivered.
Yes. Oh, amen. I feel like I'm in church.
Right? But you had the courage to do that. And that's such a key thing. And when you do that, self-concept grows. And I'm a big one on the best way to develop self-worth is to put yourselves in, put yourself in a position where you have to deliver for you.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Cause yeah. And that's a lesson I don't think we learn once. I think as we grow and evolve and change and develop, I feel like I'm doing it all over again, John, right? Like I became well-known in my community as the trauma chick. And now I'm leaving a comfortable space, which is I could sit here and for the next 8 years, right, keep doing what I'm doing, or go into a world where I'm now in obscurity in a sense. I'm new on the scene, right? The trauma girl. And I don't have all these people that know me or know what I'm about. And it's very daunting at times. You think it'd be easier to run back and do what I know I can do and not have to stretch myself. So yes, it's something we have to keep learning and keep pushing ourselves to continue to do.
Right. Right. That's really, really a key thing. So I really want people to find you and to connect with you and use you. So how do people best do that?
So there's two ways. One is they can go to my website, which is my name simply. It's laurelweers.com. And it's W-I-E-R-S. Most people spell it the other way. And then you can also email me, which is you got it. Very good. You can email me, which is laurel@laurelweers.com. And there's a sheet on my website that it says connect with me, and I will get that. Also, people can find me on LinkedIn. I hang out there a lot. I put a lot of content over on LinkedIn. And so if they just want to get a sense of who I am and what I do, that's a great place to find me. And it's just my name on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why you're here, and the friendship that we have because of the content, and because, you know, it resonated with me, we connected, we've had conversations. So, yes. I really, LinkedIn's a very powerful platform when used mm-hmm. properly, right? There's a lot of nonsense on there as well, but that's, you know, a lot of different things. So, well, it has been an absolute pleasure, having you here. I just think you're doing such good out there in the world, and I can't thank you enough for doing it.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for allowing me into the sacred space of your audience.
Thank you.
Letting me share what I do so that maybe if one person's life is changed by hearing this, thank you for that opportunity.
Absolutely. I have no doubt that more than one will be impacted. So, Laurel, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Man Up Already podcast. We really do appreciate it. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Number one, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening or viewing on, subscribe to the podcast, right? Help us, right, continue to grow by joining the community. And also rate the podcast, rate the episode, right? Whatever platform you're on, you could leave a rating. Let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you can do that, we really do want your feedback. You could head on over to manupalready.com and check out our website. All the podcast episodes are on there as well. But also join our community, sign up on our emailing list. We're going to get content out to you. There's also a free resource there for you when you do that. And pass it on. Pass on the podcast. Let people know, right, what we're up to, what we're about. Speak about it. If you're a podcast enthusiast, please share episodes. Tell people about what it is that we do. What we do here and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. And that's okay as well, right? It's just getting the word out. And then finally, I want to thank a great sponsor of our podcast, Master Beef Jerky. Their slogan is bold flavor, tender bite. If you head on over to masterbeefjerky.com, they've got incredible flavors there. But if you put in the coupon code MUAP, you will get 20% off your order. I highly recommend you check them out. Master Beef Jerky, bold flavor, tender bite, and a great, great sponsor of the podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.